A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Kuf Yud Beis, Psachim 112, pagination page 223. In the wide lines, about midway between the top of the wide lines and the bottom of the wide lines, in the beginning of a line, Rotz Katzevi, and then jump in on that line until the Tafresh, Tanu Rabbanon, Shiva Devarim Tzivo Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Yeshua Beno. There are seven things that Rabbi Akiva told, instructed Rabbi Yeshua, his son. Beni, my son, pieces of advice. Al Teshev Begivoa Shel Ir Vitishane. Don't try to sit in the top of the city and learn, because you will be interrupted. It's not good for your learning, and it's also very frustrating. If you're in public, he tells his son, then you're on call, and you're going to be interrupted by the people who are coming and going. And don't live in a city that its top people, the people who are supposed to be responsible for the city, are Tamidei Chachamim, are Torah scholars. The problem here is that if they are so interested in learning Torah, as good as that is and as important as that is, they're not going to be paying attention sufficiently to the needs of the people. And indeed, it takes a tremendous talent to try to get leaders of a city who are both knowledgeable in Torah and attentive to the needs of the community. To a certain extent, it could be done. To a certain extent, it's not done, and we simply want leaders of a community who respect Tamidei Chachamim and will ask them for good counsel. But it's not necessarily going to be the same people leading and being the scholars. V'altikonis leveis chapisom. Don't come into your house suddenly. Kol shekin leveis chavirecho, and certainly not to the house of your friend. This is where the minig comes from, to knock on the front door, even when entering your own home. Rashbam points out that this is learnt from the fact that the Kohen Gadol had bells which would announce his coming, v'nishma kolo bevo'o el hakodesh, his coming in would be known because of the sound that the bells make. Va'al timna min olim meraglecho, and don't refrain from having shoes on your feet. What is the significance of shoes on your feet? So this is a very important concept, because we say every morning, Sha'asa li kol tzorki, that Hashem provided all of my needs, and the Mefarshim say it's referring to shoes. In fact, some say that you can't say that bracha, particularly on a day where you're not allowed to wear shoes. For example, Tisha B'Av, there's a debate in Halacha. We're knowing to say it because you just wear shoes that aren't of leather. But Sha'asa li kol tzorki refers to shoes, that Hashem provided all of my needs. What is the significance of shoes in Jewish literature? So the concept of shoes is the ability to walk from place to place. Hashem has provided us with a beautiful world, and if the person has the ability to conduit himself from one place to another, he can benefit from all of those blessings. Interestingly, when Hashem wants to say, you have arrived, so Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, at the place of Har Sinai, he says, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, take off your shoes, because the place on which you stand is kadosh. In other words, the location here where you are is holy. Why would you want to wear shoes? Why would you want to move on? Here is the place to stay. So he's telling his son, don't refrain from having shoes, which seems to be the recommendation, you should be willing for your benefit, for the benefit of your mission in life, to wear shoes, within reason, I guess, but to be willing to go from one place to the other and not simply to say, well, better come to me or else I'm not interested. The Gemara continues, Hashkin ve'echo b'kayitz m'pnei achama v'chorif m'pnei atzino. Wake up early and eat. In the summer because of the heat, in the winter because of the cold. Apparently he was advising him to take good care of his health. Va'asei shabbat chachol v'al tetzarech labrios. And be willing to make your Shabbos simple and not ask others for help. Live within your means, even if it means toning things down. In halacha, when this is brought, though, Simen Resh Mem Beis, what's actually recommended is a person should simplify their weekday in an effort to make Shabbos special. But ultimately, if this is what it took to avoid taking tzedakah, a person would be willing to keep his Shabbos simple. On a practical level, sometimes it's necessary to advise a person when they go through a difficult time in their life financially that they should take tzedakah, they should take benefit from others, because that will boost their self-esteem actually, keep their Shabbos special. They shouldn't become depressed over it. They should realize other people are reaching out to them to help, and it'll actually boost them and get them through the difficult time. So application of this obviously depends on a mentor's advice. Rabbi Kiva said, and you should try to be involved with a person that the times are laughing for him. Meaning things are just like everything he touched turns into gold. He's doing great. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa's first reaction to the statement was, Lo lemizvin mineva, lo lezvune le, not to buy from him or to sell, because then you could end up being the loser, because he's Shah Misachekeslo, everything he does is a good deal, so you're going to be at the raw end of the good deal. Elo lemeva chutvis bahade, Rav Papa said, no, it means to do partnership with him. But then the Gemara continues and says it's not that limited. If a person gets a coin from such a rich person, that too has blessing. Even to do transactions with him, you also benefit. And the good luck, so to speak, rubs off. Shop your dummy, and you're allowed to do such business with the person to whom things are going well. Just to make reference, yesterday's daf, perhaps we encountered such a person, that Abaya felt that Rav Papa was a protected person. He's wealthy, he's doing well, and he didn't have trouble positioning him to his left, as described in that Gemara. The Gemara continues, Chamisha Devarim Tziva Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi. There are five things that Rabbi Akiva gave advice to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, his Talmud, Kishaya Chavash Bevesu Asurim, when he was locked up, incarcerated in the jail, presumably before he was executed. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai came to visit him. And Rabbi Akiva at first was very reluctant to share Torah with him. Perhaps because of the situation, he was afraid that the guards would come down hard on Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wasn't in jail. He was visiting, just visiting, you know, monopoly. He's just visiting. Rabbi Akiva doesn't want to put him in danger. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai insists that he wants to learn Torah and gain from Rabbi Kiva's wisdom. So, starting from five lines up from the bottom, at the end of the line, Omar lo, Rabbi Kiva told him, in bikashta lechonek, in riddles he talks, if you want to get choked, hung, Hitola be'ilon godol. So at least do it on a big tree. So Rashbam explains that when you structure your learning and you're going to be hung, so to speak, locked in for life to something, so lock yourself in to a big tree, to a great Talmudic scholar, and like this you'll be able to quote from him and people will accept the teachings. Uchushat ha-malamid es bincha, when you're teaching your son, lamdeo b'sefer muga, teach him from an edited text. Make sure what you're teaching him is accurate. At the end of the line, shaveshta kevin da'ol'ol, because if you teach a mistake, you're in trouble. Once he has it, it's with him for life. What you learn in your youth is sometimes very hard to undo when you realize it was a mistake. Don't cook in a pot that your friend cooked. My niyu, what's he talking about? Again in riddles. Gerusha b'chaye b'ayla. He's talking about a divorced woman during the husband's lifetime. The amar mar, because we have a tradition that it's a little bit challenging. Gerusha nasa gerusha, when you have a divorce, a man who divorced and a woman who divorced, and the spouses, former spouses, the ex, is still alive. Arba deyos b'mita. It's like four different intents are in the bed, because it's hard for them to get rid of the previous experience. V'iba yisema, but if you want, afilu ba'almana, even if it's a widow and the spouse is dead, so then we're not worried about deyos b'mita, the intents. A person apparently upon death is able to leave go of that. But nevertheless, l'fisha'ein kol etzba'os shavos, not all the fingers are equal. This is a clean way talking about the act of intimacy. The finger, the part that goes into the body, is not always equal, and as Rashbam explains, it doesn't always give the same level of pleasure, and therefore there could be some resentment. So Rabbi Kiva said that a second marriage comes with its degree of caution. Of course, these are pieces of advice, they're not binding, and normally what we have is that there are other mitigating circumstances, such as a person trying to start life anew, and definitely it's halachically permitted, but Rabbi Akiva was saying, at least to his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that it's a consideration. Yashar Koach, have a wonderful day.